final final chapter, right? Will it be Jiggy? Will it be Mark Nut? Will a whole damn crowd rise up night, night, night,
welcome to College NDL Game Day. Today I'm here with Phony Penguin and Smitty. We're rocking in Block 5, and according to Block's play rate, last week was one of the most played weeks in the NDL ever, so things are still keeping on track and rolling here in Season 32. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good today. It's been a long, long week for me. But we're getting back together, though, so we're on for great things this next week and going forward. What about you, Penguin? How are you feeling today?
I'm pretty good. I think I'm better than some of y'all at the moment, you know. Yeah, no hangover. Just shooting some children right now. And I think it's Matt Dunn in a second. I'll be engaged. How's your all's blood alcohol content doing?
A lot better than last weekend.
Mine's fairly the same as it has been. Diet Pepsi, on the other hand, I'm about 6 in right now. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and I've had a hell of a week, man. I got my girls' flag football team to the state tournament, and I beat LSU. Jiggy got beat. I mean, much more can't ask for. I'm having a hell of a week.
I know Jiggy's in that audience. I'm sure he's enjoying that. He's probably got that hangover from last night's big SEC game. Penguin kind of mentioned the NDL convention. We'll kind of talk about that first here on the game day today. So, Phony, like, what we going into the NDL convention, obviously a lot of those guys. How many guys in the NDL have you ever met prior to that?
I've never met anybody that I know of. Who knows? Maybe years ago, possibly. But probably not. But no, I haven't met anybody. It was great to meet up with everybody and didn't know what to expect and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a good time there. First time meeting everybody.
What about you, Penguin? I know you had a little bit different experience, definitely on Friday. But I mean, I had the joy of meeting you. You know, a day prior, you drove over here to Louisiana, and then we drove together. But just going into, have you ever met anybody in the NDL?
Yeah. I know Luis, Texas fan, we shared a beer and meal with him before some years ago. And I mean, I've got a bunch of guys I've known for many years, but not had the privilege of meeting in person. And definitely of everyone that was there, I'd never met any of you guys face to face per se.
What were your takeaways, Phony, from the convention? Obviously, there was 12 of us that got to see face-to-face there and hang out. 11 of us stayed at the Airbnb. What was your thoughts on that whole convention?
Oh, man, I had a blast. That was probably one of the greatest vacation times I've ever had. It's just a lot of great people. And that's one thing about the NDL. I think a lot of things get mixed up with when stuff goes on in the league. It's just about the people that's in here. Once you meet these people, it's a blast. Just talking to them and stuff like that. Just had a great time. I think the greatest time for me, Texanal's in here, so he will recall this, is when we were playing poker, he looked at my cards and saw that I flopped a flush and still bet. Greatest time I've ever had. I couldn't believe it, but outside of that, man, it's just a ton of great people in the league and great to catch up with everybody and know more about everybody. So it's definitely a blast.
Yeah, I definitely got it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Banger.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, echo that. Yeah, I mean, just the emphasis that the community and knowing people does, that's the reason that we're even playing this freaking game to begin with, you know? I know we have that whole conversation with, you know, what's our purpose and mentality, especially when it comes to some of the age gaps or vets versus new guys, but to realize that is the whole point of this thing here. Most, I mean, this many guys, the majority of us are never going to play for a title. So this is what it's about. You know, the community hanging out, winning is great. We all want to, but having some friends and being fools with them, you know, making some inside jokes and, you know, making sure people are still okay and opening the bathroom door into their ribs a couple times during the nights. You know, these are the things that matter, not your touchdown to interception ratio.
Yeah, I mean, that, for me, that was obviously I really enjoyed it. I got the luck of kind of planning the whole thing, and everyone showed up. You know, it was a lot of fun meeting people. And Penguin kind of, I think it was Phony, had mentioned, and Pat said it before, as you in these forums and when you're typing and stuff, a lot of things get lost in transition. You don't know that people mainly are just being smart asses or they're just joking, and then you take it to heart, you get you're offended, and then next thing you know, there's a big old argument in the chat. In person, it's a completely different story. You know, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really fun seeing everyone's personality, getting to meet people. That some of the guys don't talk a whole lot in the chat, but clearly they're reading it because they knew a lot of the stuff that was going on and everything. It's really exciting. We're planning the next NDO convention in 2026. In July, it looks like it'll be in Nashville. We do the same thing. We get an Airbnb. We split the cost of the Airbnb. It's a lot of fun. And so I really hope that you take the time to go. It doesn't matter if you're new or old. We had Drew Baca. He's a season 29, right? He came in season 29. So he's a newer guy. He showed up down there, a blast, an absolute blast. He's very good at Beersby. You throw a frisbee at a pole and knock it down. We played that outside, and he's very good at that. So,
he also has much obscure internet knowledge.
Yes. He stumbles upon a lot of weird stuff just randomly, apparently. but lots of fun though. We drank lots of alcohol. Corey drank lots of water. Texa brought some really good stuff to drink, but it's definitely not stuff you want to shoot and take shots of. That's for sure.
I can confirm. I mean, Texa, as I say, you know, you meet some of these guys in person and you think they're nice and they're friendly to you and talking, you might even be the fan of the same thing. Next thing you know, they've handed you a glass that has like 5-6 ounces of a proof of unknown proof of alcohol, and you don't remember the rest of the night. I mean, you got to be careful with some of these guys.
If anyone doesn't know, Penguin was a man down on Friday. He didn't eat dinner or anything like that.
Very early.
Yeah, Texa was rude and just gave him a bunch of shot liquor, and Penguin took a nap in the bathroom. But other than that, a great weekend. We had a lot of fun in Dallas, Texas. Really fun meeting everybody. And so hit up the chat, hit up the Discord channel for the and get all the alerts and stuff for next year's NDL convention in Nashville. I think it's the third week in July is the dates we're looking at. Let us know if you need help with anything. Don't let money keep you from coming. It's a lot of fun meeting and hanging out with friends that are like-minded. That was my favorite part, is that we're all most of us are nerds when it comes to football, right? Like, we live, breathe, and eat football. And being able to talk about that, we shared the NFL draft together, and being able to talk about video games and other things that you normally may not get to talk about with just your normal day friends, it was a lot of fun here. Next up, we'll just kind of jump into, obviously, the votes. We were talking about that pre-show with the NDL votes. Changing a day earlier, and we had a lot of good games yesterday and yesterday night, which were probably after the polls came in. But when we just kind of look at the polls and stuff, Penguin, what are your biggest surprises in the polls this week?
For me, I don't know. When I was going through them, I didn't really have many surprises myself. Like, maybe, I know we saw some big wins and big losses late, but I think that will change going forward in the next block. But for me, I didn't really have any surprises myself. Like, maybe seeing North Carolina blow FAU. I know North Carolina's been pretty dominant overall, and FAU being a G5 team, being out there, which I think he deserves to be in my eyes. He's been really, really dominant against every competition he's played against. But yeah, outside of that, I don't really have many surprises as well. So I think we'll see a lot of this change next block with all these big games that are getting played.
I will jump in and say, I think, I won't say there are a lot of surprises. I think the media poll is a little more plugged in than the coaches poll, which I suppose isn't shocking. I think stuff like, I think Ole Miss deserves that number two spot via their big win, and Oregon's, as many people have pointed out in the conversation, just through no fault of their own, just their schedule has just Charmin soft at this point, especially with Ohio State not really being active right now. But other than that, for the most part, poll mostly lines up. I definitely, to jump on the end of what Phony said there, I think what you've seen with FAU getting votes is a kind of a testament to, you know, there's been chatter, you know, people talking about them or whatnot, and that little bit of popularity in there definitely sways people. So I guess just kind of a push to the merit of a little bit of self-promotion and having some fans can garner you a few votes.
I got a question for y'all about the top 25. So Tennessee is ranked 15th, okay? They've got two losses. Now, I think if they played Central Michigan, they'd beat Central Michigan, okay? But I voted Central Michigan ahead of them on the loss, the two losses. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I'll jump in. I think the polls kind of got it mostly right at the moment. Honestly, for my part, I think Tennessee's a little too high at 15 with as many teams that are still unbeaten or have one loss at this point. They definitely can climb back up, but those two losses, even though don't make it harder at all for me to put them behind teams that if they face them one-on-one, you know, right now that they'd beat. If it was a question of zero losses versus one loss, maybe a different, but if you're given zero losses with Central Michigan and two losses with Tennessee, then that's not a hard choice for me.
That's kind of how I feel. I think North Carolina would be ranked. I think I might have ranked Old Dominion too. I think they're a team that needs to be up there as well. Obviously, Oklahoma's going to jump in the polls. The only reason I didn't vote them is because they haven't played a lot. Trying to look through here. I mean, I think the polls look okay. I would vote LSU ahead of Oregon. And Clemson, I would probably vote ahead of Oregon. But other than that, I think the polls look pretty good.
Yeah, for me, I had Oregon pretty far down. He may have been like six. And the only reason I voted as the Texas game was going, but I finalized with him still being the number one team. Obviously, that'll change next week for me. But as you can see, Ole Miss climbing up in the rankings. It's the SEC dominant in the top 10. I'm with you guys, though. Tennessee, he's right about in the middle of the pack for me right now just because of the two losses. Obviously, that Florida loss was very close. Both his losses were on the road. And so it'll all play out how it's supposed to for him, though, because he still has Georgia at home. He has Clemson at home. You know, if he was to win out, obviously he's going to end up in the top 10 regardless. So I don't think it really matters. With ODU, I didn't vote him this week. I did vote him last week. And the only reason is he's one of those victims of the bye weeks. He had back-to-back bye weeks, and then he hasn't played two games in previous blocks. So he's sitting at 4-0. Where other teams had six games played or five games played. And so to me, if you could vote top 30, he would have been one of those just outside teams. But definitely a team to watch is ODU in the Sun Belt there. That kind of conference is all his. Now, who do you think is going to be the biggest faller next week in the poll?
I'll jump. Are you good, Pim? Go ahead.
Okay, all right. I'm going to say, with the upsets and whatnot, I'm going to say I think Oregon actually falls more. I think people are going to look a little hard at the schedule, being that, you know, you've had Texas go down, LSU go down in recent weeks, And you really can't drop either of them that far because, you know, these aren't bad losses and they're to other good teams. And now you've got Ole Miss and Oklahoma sitting there with fantastic wins to their resume. So I think Oregon is going to be a victim of not just unbeaten teams, but one-loss teams that have a win that's far better than anything on their schedule.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at that with you right there is Oregon, because like when you're looking at Texas, yeah, you just lost to Oklahoma on the road in a very close game, or at home in a very close game. Like, are you really going to put Texas behind Oregon with who Jiggy's beat and who he's played against compared to like an Oregon team who's he's played against and beat? I don't think I would. I still think I would have Texas in front of Oregon. Then I think you have all these other teams in like Clemson and Missouri, depending how their games will play out, possibly slide in front of Oregon too. So I'm kind of with you on the Oregon train there. I really do think Oregon has to run the table in the Big Ten to hold that top spot and potentially get a bye. Because like if we say he loses, who knows who gets that bye after that? But yeah, I think Oregon is a team that will slide. I think another team will be Texas Tech based off his loss on the road at Baylor as well. It's a pretty significant loss against a team like that on the road. So. Especially in a tough conference for him right now. But those would be my two teams I would have.
Yeah, I think Texas Tech will be your big faller. Not a great loss, Baylor. I thought he was going to beat him 14-plus. Baylor with a huge upset. So I think Texas Tech, like a top 12, top 13 team to probably, I would probably put him right now, probably like 20-21.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there with the Texas Tech loss. Big win by Baylor. Something to talk about is Baylor. Corey over there, I don't know if any of you guys had the chance to watch that Colorado game. He had Colorado on the ropes. He's up 17 in the first, I think, in the second quarter. And ends up losing by like 17. And so obviously he's got things. He's just got to figure out a couple more things there. But that's a big win over Texas Tech. It definitely throws that whole conference kind of in a little bit of a pickle here, because Colorado's got some big games coming up in the next two blocks to where a two-loss team could look at themselves making that conference championship game. Well, we'll move. We can just move right on to the next. I want to talk about just one more thing here. I know we talked about some of these teams losing here, but we had Jiggy, Vegas, and Buckner all lost last block, which is a huge SEC shakeup. Right now, who do you guys have at the top two teams in that SEC?
In the SEC, for me, I think you have to put Smitty and Ole Miss based off the big one that he just had. Against LSU, because he played them at home. I think Ole Miss is running that conference right now. Another team, too, that's been very good, and he just gets better each season, is Deacon at Georgia. He's really good this season. Big win. So I think those are my top two teams in the SEC. Even though Jiggy just lost, and Jiggy beat Georgia. I think those are my top two teams for me.
I'd have to say, I mean, obviously, Smitty's earned this to be one of those top two teams at the moment via his unbeaten record and that great win over LSU. And then I've got to put Jiggy still up there at the moment. Sure, he just lost that game, but that win over Georgia, I think, means a lot, especially with as good as Georgia's looked right now. And I feel like, from what I saw, Texas looked a little bit better to me in defeat than LSU did. That's just my opinion.
I think it's Ole Miss. I think it Alabama. Those are my top two teams. But I think Texas and LSU are right there, and it could go either way. And even Georgia's got the toughest schedule though, so. I think it's going to be hard for him to stay up there the whole time. So I think it's going to be between those four teams. If I stay in top two, though, I would pick Ole Miss and Alabama. I think Alabama is going to nobody's talking about him. He's kind of sitting there about seventh or eighth, like, and he's a really good player too, with a unreal team.
Yeah, he kind of got down early against Georgia, a couple pick sixes, which is the theme of the story when you play Georgia, is that he always is, whenever you look, his defense is running for touchdowns. But I'm with you. I got Ole Miss right now sitting at the top. No one really is talking about Missouri, which is interesting. Sitting at undefeated, this will be a big week for them. It's a game we're picking this week. Alabama at Missouri, home game for Missouri. I'm sure Columbia will be rocking there, hosting Alabama, which is a huge ranked matchup between two top 10 teams. I, being the SEC commissioner, it's going to fluctuate. It'll work itself out at the end of the season. But right now, with the way teams are playing now, because I don't have Texas in my top three. The reason being, his offense is just, if anyone watched a game last night, he'd be the first to tell you. I think he mentioned in the chat that he has a blind quarterback, is that he could not throw the ball. He was making bad reads. Granted, Oklahoma made some amazing catches and stuff, but until Texas really gets that offense moving, I don't have them as one of the top three teams in the SEC currently. Lots of football left, so it'll be really interesting. I think Georgia finishes with three losses, but as you guys know, on game day, every time we pick against him, he does the opposite. So we will... I guess we'll just kind of move. We're talking about, teams, snubs, biggest risers and stuff in the top 25. Who has, looking over the schedules and stuff this week, Phony, who has the most to gain or the most to lose this block?
Most to lose, I think, will be, it's tough. I would say Colorado. He's all had a lot of close games, right? A lot of close games. I know he's still yet to play UCF. And he's got a big game on the road against Cincinnati. And I think possibly with the big loss there, could move him down. And he's, especially looking ahead on his schedule, he's got a couple other big games coming up as well. So I don't think a team like that can afford a loss right here. Especially with the other tough games he's got. And one of the other games is on the road against Utah later on. So, and I think that's another game that's going to be very, very tough. But I think I'd say Colorado for me, just based off previous resume and looking ahead on the schedule. Biggest to gain, I think Florida is a team. I know he's got some tough games ahead as well and can make some noise and especially getting a high seed in the playoffs when that comes. I don't really see, I know Vegas, he's got two losses, so he can't really afford another loss. So that's another team that can't lose anything. So he's got to win out to make the playoffs here. But I think Colorado is a team I'm looking at for the rest of the way going forward.
Jump in. I think Colorado is definitely a solid pick given their last history. I'm going to jump in with another one that's got to may only have one game in this next block, but we've already mentioned it's huge, and that's Missouri. They're ranked inside the top 10, but even when we were talking about the conference, I mean, there's not a lot of respect right now, and I'm right there with people thinking that way because I don't think there's anyone, for the most part, that expects that they are going to beat Alabama. Given having said that, if they could pull off that upset, I think it could completely blow up the narrative of what's possible for them this season. They still have some very tough games to go, but if they could win that game, they go from us not thinking about them to all of a sudden like, oh crap, this is a team with a legitimate chance to be in the SEC title game and has the inside track with that win to a playoff bid for sure, even if they don't win the SEC.
I think the most to gain is Oklahoma. He plays Ole Miss. If he beats Ole Miss and he beat Texas, he's a top three team in my opinion.
the most to lose, I think, is Alabama. If he loses to Ole Miss, or if he loses to Missouri, he's going to drop tremendously in the polls. So that would be my two.
Yeah, for me, it's really it's a conference thing here for me. And the reason being is I put it as the ACC. I think that you have North Carolina over there sitting with one loss already. Has some big matchups coming up here in the near future. This block, he's playing Virginia. But then you have him also playing like Florida State this block, which is a big win, game between Sammy and him. Obviously, they played each other last year in the ACC or the AAC. And so I think that the conference in general has a lot to gain or not. The reason being is the ACC is always, you know, that borderline. Do two teams get in or only one? And this is one of those conferences in the next block where a lot of the teams are starting to play each other, and who's going to separate themselves? Is North Carolina going to, you know, if he beats Florida State, it's a pretty big statement win for him. He's not ranked right now in the coaches poll. And then you also have Miami up there as well as NC State. A lot of people aren't talking about him. I did go take a peek at his schedule, and that's probably why. Doesn't play a very tough schedule. I think he only plays North Carolina at the end of the season. The last game of the season there. And that's his only ranked opponent the entire season, I do believe. And so he does control his own destiny, obviously, wins out, and he'll have a chance to play for that conference championship. But I think they have the most to gain, most to lose, because if Florida State wins and beats North Carolina, you really put that conference in some turmoil as to are they ever going to get two teams into the championship, and even one if for whatever reason Clemson trips up. Now, when we I do want to say I do agree with Colorado, though. Their schedule coming up, not just in this block, is going to make or break them. They play next block is they're going to be their tough test. They play Texas Tech and Utah. They obviously play Cincinnati this block, but their next three games are against Cincinnati on the road, Texas Tech at home, and then at Utah with obviously Marion County back now. Start getting some games played. You'll probably start seeing him move up a little bit in those rankings.
I'm going to jump in there real quick. I've got a question for all y'all, too. So with, and this is with Colorado, with these three massive matchups for them back-to-back-to-back, right? Two on the road, one at home. What if he loses all three of them? That drops him all the way out. Like, that could be one of the biggest drops that we see someone in a matter of, like, a block or two.
Good point. Yeah, he might have a hard time staying ranked if that were to happen, especially if, if the games are battles, yeah, but, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if he loses all three, dude, he's going to be out of the top 25 for sure. I was just looking at it and thinking about it. I'm just like, that could just be a massive drop, and then that leaves that conference wide open between Iowa State and Utah with both of them being undefeated in conference play as of right now. I don't think, or Iowa State does play Utah towards the end of the year in the last block, but outside of that, I think you have a pretty wide open race if that does to happen with Utah, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Cincy. So
I mean, what do you think if he wins all three of them?
That's another good point too. Like, if he does win all three, like, where do you put him at? Top three, right? I think he pushes top three.
If he wins all three, he's got a case for number one.
Oregon. Yeah. Like, those are three massive wins.
I mean, he wouldn't jump Ole Miss, and he might not jump a one loss of some of the other SEC teams.
Maybe,
but I mean,
like,
yeah,
LSU or maybe like Texas, he wouldn't jump. But I think he has a great case of being jumping Texas with all three big wins. So
yeah, if you were to look at other SEC one loss or even undefeated teams, I don't think he jumps them. But if the SEC beats each other up, and let's say Ole Miss has a loss, and he's the only undefeated Power 5 team other than Oregon, you're probably going to put him pretty – you might even put him one. If you vote him one, you'd have an argument.
Yeah, I think he has a big make or break next block or two for him, so – It's going to be interesting.
No pressure, Andy. No pressure.
Hey, something else we talked about pregame or pre-show, I want to just bring up is that we're talking about the most to gain and most to lose this block. Is I want to hit on Ohio State, and we talked about it before the show, is that most people probably don't even think about it like this, but being a preseason top, I think they were a top 10 team preseason, they come into the rankings and everyone thinks that they're going to have a shot at taking on a number 12 team and getting to play somebody for those points. You know, if you beat an unranked team and you're ranked, vice versa. But now Ohio State is unranked for the first time, I think, since the game came out. Is Ohio State's unranked right now. They're 1-0. And so now when these teams face him, they're both going to be unranked, or maybe like Oregon is going to be ranked and Ohio State's unranked. And if it goes out there and wins, he gets those big bonus points for being an unranked team playing a ranked team. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll jump in here first. So I know we had a big discussion and we kind of went both ways with it. And for me, it's this, I don't like how it can benefit just one side and hurt another side. Like, I feel like there's got to be a middle ground, which is tough to do. I get that. And that was kind of the argument for it. But for me, it's just like, especially late in the season, right? Unless there's communication about something, I feel like there's something's got to give. And if he does beat a ranked team and he's unranked, like, point wise, like, I don't know if you give him like half the points for it or something like that. I feel like there's got to be some sort of middle ground with it, because if the other guy loses, right, to an unranked team at this point, especially being in Ohio State, people are going to see that and that other team's going to drop a lot, and Ohio State is going to benefit by that a lot compared to if Ohio State was ranked, the other team's not going to drop as much and Ohio State will gain slightly. So I know stuff happens, life happens and stuff, but I just feel like late in the season, if there's no communication with anything, I feel like there's got to be like a middle ground played in between all of this. But it's tough to do. I get all that.
Yeah, it definitely brings up a conversation where, you know, we got to figure out, I mean, as a we're not the decision makers here by any means, of if a conversation should be had about, you know, a team's activity and how it, you know, impacts other teams or whatnot. You know, is there anything that needs to be done in the rules or, you know, to deal with, you know, if a coach, frankly, should be here or not? I don't know what the good answer is, because obviously you're talking creating some work, and we all know that life situations happen. You know, you may have something going on that's completely out of your control that prevents you from playing, and it would be, you know, obviously wrong to punish a person in that situation for sure. So I guess I'm just happy that I'm not having to make that decision, because there's a lot of sides to it.
I think it looks like I could be Ole Miss next season when the game drops. It's kind of what it looks like to me. So I'm pretty fired up about it, man. Get a good team like Ohio State.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's the thing, though. It'll be really interesting, because we know we have a lot of Ohio State fans in the NDL, which is, you know, we hear about it every week. And so it'll be really interesting to see if they end up, you know, I mean, he's only played one game. He's 0-1. I'm sure he has 5 bank points, but he's going to need to win some games or play some games. And maybe he'll get lucky with those coin flips at the end of the year. I can't imagine his would be a lot of 50-50 coin flips, though, if he's been unable to squeeze these games in 5 blocks already. But really interesting. Obviously, you know, we could discuss this. I think that it's like that gray area we talked about. Life happens and there's different situations and stuff, but when it becomes something that happens season after season, maybe the pace of the NDL is just a little too much and you got to step aside. So, but next we'll jump into the next topic. Who is your guys's, and I'll start with you, Smitty, who's your early season front runner for the Heisman Trophy?
Do I have to pick one?
No, you can pick a couple. It can be a couple.
I think you guys know I'm a runner. I'm a runner first, so I'm going to pick me a running back. Nate Noll for Missouri. By far, he's got to be the top guy to me. We've gave it to Genty, I think, the last 2 years, and I don't think last year he deserved it. So this year, I think Noll's putting up better stats than he did. I think if you're looking at a QB, I think you've got to look at Sanders, Colorado. His stats are, I mean, they're impressive. 80%, 81% completion with 21 touchdowns and 4 picks. That's insane. And then with a receiver, man, you got to go Branch. USC, his numbers are just, I mean, they're stupid. You know, 1,000 yards on 33 catches with 13 touchdowns. That's crazy. I'll tell you who I like, though. He ain't going to win the Heisman, but just looking. We got a tight end out of Maryland. Preston Howard, 39 catches, 771 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That is very impressive for me for a tight end. That's crazy. So those will be my 3 guys. I had to throw in that tight end because I thought that was pretty awesome. And don't be surprised, though, if Hampton comes up there from Carolina, because he not only is he rushing the ball, I've seen his receiving stats are very good as well.
Yeah, there's some really good running backs. I think we see that every year, right? Like with Nate Noll this year, Ashton Genty in the last few seasons. It's just, I think this game's more of just a lot of people runs the ball. So I think we see a lot of those running back stats inflated a little bit by how much running there is in the game. But for me, I think this is the first time that we see a defensive player win the Heisman. When you go look at USF, the season that he's having, right? Jalen Shuler, linebacker for USF, 31 tackles, 11 TFLs, 11 sacks at linebacker as a pass coverage linebacker, 6 INTs and 2 touchdowns at that position with the season he's having. I think we see the defensive player win the Heisman this year for the first time. I think he's my front runner. I know these running backs are having great years. Look at Marion Lukes out of CMU. He's having great year there as well, up there with Nate Noll with 140 carries, a little over 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, about same average as well. So, I think we got to compare the season of the team that they're having with how good USF is and this linebacker defensive side of the ball compared to maybe an Ashton Genty from last year when he was 7-5 or something like that. Running backs having great years, but I think this is the first year we see a defensive player win the Heisman. He is my front runner.
I'll jump in. I got to jump in. If the guy from UCF with 22 picks last year,
preach,
and 11 touchdowns didn't win the defensive, didn't win Heisman, then there ain't no fucking way anybody else is getting it.
So hey, I'm just saying that is a great point, right? But it's just how people look at Heisman. Like they see the Ashton Genty, and that's not how I look at it. Because Boise State didn't have a good year. I don't think I was with you. I don't think he deserved the Heisman last year.
That's when
right?
You know the voters are
crazy. I know
crazy.
He didn't deserve the Heisman
that's
last year.
That's when you know the voters are crazy, though. Is that like the big picture thing is that, I mean, that's real life stuff, too. You people that, I think someone brought it up last year, and it may have been Penguin. Obviously, he was a big, big pusher that he had no business winning the Heisman last year because of his record. Is that, I think they lost 5 games last year, didn't they? Boise, 5-6
games.
Yeah,
I think there were 7-5.
There's no way that I don't care if it's a quarterback, he's not going to win the Heisman. I'm going to throw it out here this year. I think right now for me, if I was a voter, the leading candidate right now for the Heisman for me would be Jalen Shuler. He's a linebacker at USF. 11 sacks and 6 picks on the season already. Okay?
Yep.
If he can continue with that rate, now, Smitty, I voted for your guy for almost every single award last year. Okay?
I would hope so.
But if he finishes, let's say, with 18 interceptions, but he has 20 sacks, let's just say not 30 sacks, right? If he continues the pace, he's not finishing right.
100%.
He 20 sacks, 18. Yeah, 100. And 100%. And USF goes undefeated, right? Because winning is a big deal. That's in real life. And I come from a giant Mike Leach fan, right? Giant Mike Leach fan growing up as a kid, followed him throughout all of college. He ended up at Washington State. Their quarterbacks would lead the nation in passing, break records every year. And you know what they were never? They were never in the top five in Heisman voting, ever. Because statistically, it didn't matter that they would have a two-loss. They were a two-loss team. If they went undefeated and won a national championship, that changes everything. But that's not the case. And so, and obviously, voters in the league aren't stupid. I'm not going to say that. But they don't. Some of them just aren't paying attention, right? They're just going in, sorting the stats, looking at who has the most and voting. Because we have guys that play, we have, you know, running backs. But that's always been a big thing for the last 3 years, is there's running backs that have more touchdowns, total touchdowns, than just rushing, and they don't vote like that, right? They don't go look, are they utilized in the passing game? How many yards? How many touchdowns? Quarterbacks. A lot of guys don't go look at total touchdowns, right? Quarterbacks are a multi-threat. You know, they run the ball. And so, but I'm with you. Second guy on my Heisman list would be Zach Branch right now with USC right now. Unreal numbers, putting up a big reason why USC right now is ranked where they're at in the top 20. And so that's right. I had Texas quarterback Archie Manning on probably my top five. But after throwing seven picks and losing, I don't think there's any way you come back from that. Even if he, you know, at the end of the year when you're facing teams that all have one loss and stuff, I think that it's just really tough to come back from a loss that you threw seven interceptions.
Anyway,
yeah, well, I'll jump in. You're a good ping
one. Yeah, I'll jump in.
Afterward.
I would say just touch on a couple things y'all said, agree on, like with Arch. Arch was my pick to start the season, but I completely agree. I think he's unfortunately knocked himself out of the race. And to stay on quarterbacks there a moment, I think I'm going to say right now, I think a quarterback wins the Heisman. Should he? I don't know, but I think it's going to be a quarterback. And I think it's going to come from, I think you got a really good chance of a group of five quarterback between the FAU quarterback, Cam Francher, and Byron Brown at USF, both of them sitting there with fantastic touchdown interception ratios. If one of them runs the table, I think you're going to have a hard time one of them not being in the mix. Obviously, Shador with that 21-4 ratio and Colorado still unbeaten. If Andy runs the table, Shador wins the Heisman because he's completing 80% of the passes, and that ratio is going to be out of sight if they win those games. So I don't think anybody's going to be able to touch him. Having said that, could a defensive player win it, even if the dude ends up with 20 picks and 20 sacks? No. I don't think the average voter is going to think well enough, think hard enough, to even give him enough consideration. So I don't even think he'd get it if he had 50 sacks or 50 interceptions because of the average voter. Now, as far as players that could realistically get it, who are on the outside, I know Branch is a sexy pick, and understandably so. But the guy I look at, and this is with the caveat attached, of course, that the team wins and continues to win, is Luther Burden down at Missouri. Because if you know, you've got Noel already there with some great numbers of the running back, but Burden sitting there 11 touchdowns on 37 catches. If Missouri continues to win, it's going to be because they also had to throw the ball successfully. I think Burden's stats may blow up even further. And he very well may eclipse his teammate in the end. And that's all I got.
Yeah, one thing I was going to touch on after you is I was going to bring up the quarterbacks, right? Like, I think in the years past, we had a lot, at least a few quarterbacks kind of just standing out. I don't think we really have any quarterbacks really standing out this year. And you touched on a great point, like when you're looking at a lot of the touchdown to interception ratios. A lot of them is not really that great when you're looking at them. So it's like the top end, like Arch Manning, 22 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Noah Fifita, 14 to 18. DJ, 17 to 12. Cam Ward, 19 to 12. So I think a lot of those or a lot of the interceptions are up this year compared to the last few seasons, I think, when we're looking at it. But I'm with you on the quarterback, though. The FAU quarterback, I think, is a big talking point, too, and something to look out for. But, yeah, I think that kind of stands out to me. Not really any quarterback standing out in the Heisman race this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, if Nate Noll continues the season he's having, and Missouri wins one loss or even two losses and makes the playoff, it'll be tough to keep that running back out of the Heisman. But obviously, I just hope it's a winning team, someone that that has a good record and it makes sense. That's the biggest thing. Smitty, no one on your team this year?
Man, I'll be honest with you. I'm just trying to win this season. Like last season, I was trying to really push my running back. I was really, I was killing it with my defensive player. I'm having a good year with Perkins on defense. But just like I said, I mean, if 22 interceptions, 10 touchdowns for a linebacker don't get the Heisman, then I don't think I'll ever get it. I don't think I would get the votes anyways if I had a guy up there with 7,000 rushing, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I think in the NDL, it'll always be harder for big name, I mean, these tougher conferences like the SEC this year, it'll be hard for guys in that conference to win the Heisman because your competition is a little bit harder and the defenses are better per se. And you have more players in your team that are making plays, right? I mean, you go, look like LSU's defense. I mean, his stats are spread out all over the field. So whereas some of these mid-major schools have one, 90 speed guy with 85 awareness, even if you're not a user in him, he's going to make more plays. You know, the quarterbacks aren't as good. The running backs like Mountain West, Genty, he's still going to put up yards, but a lot less yards if he played in the SEC, right? He's right. Playing out in the Mountain West, where he's faster than any guy on the field some of the games. He's the fastest player on the whole field. To whereas, obviously, in those bigger conferences, that's not going to be the thing. And so I think you always see the smaller teams will probably put up better stats because of the teams and opponents they're playing. And so we'll kind of jump into the next thing. This has been a hot topic, and I debated on whether I wanted to talk about it on the show or not, but I'm going to do it mainly because we don't have a ton of new guys. Smitty obviously has been here since the launch of the game in the NDL from season 29. And so I don't know if you'd consider him a new guy, but I decided to talk about it anyways. We have a lot of new guys in the chat right now, and so it'll be fun to talk about. Is we kind of have this like old guy versus new guy mentality in the league, whether it's you're ganging up on the new guys or the new guys don't know what they're talking about or whatnot. Do you think it's real? Do you think it's warranted? And what are your thoughts on it, Penguin?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's, how should I put it? Okay, let me back up. It is real to a degree, because it's perceived to be real by some. So even if people aren't actually thinking that way, the fact that some people, specifically talking from some of the new guys I've spoken to, feel that way, then it does exist. Now, is that the intent? For the most part, no, I don't think so. I think you've got a case of, you've got a lot of guys who've known each other for a long time, and we know each other. We like Patty. Dude, that is a fantastic guy in person. And if he's one of those people, if you don't like him, the problem's really honestly with you in person. And in the boards, he comes off some kind of way to some people. And I get that. But some of the new guys aren't going to realize that or appreciate that. So I think it leads to inevitable, a little bit of butting of heads there and people feeling like they're being slighted when frankly they aren't. Plus, you've got the whole thing of this league is a special place that only exists because of the community. The community is so much more important than the game, so much more important than winning or losing. And that is something not everyone understands initially. So I think there's a little bit of a learning curve and a responsibility on us vets to maybe be a little bit more careful sometimes with our words.
Yeah, I think you really touched on it pretty well there. It's really about just like really like knowing how someone is, really, right? And like, and just getting to know him. Like we know Pat, like we know how he is. Such a great guy. Loves to joke around, and I think that's one thing. Like a lot of people love to joke around in here and just throw jokes out and laugh and have a good time, but there's some people that might not think of that and stuff, and that's people, everybody in, at times in life, but I think that's the big thing. It's just people not picking up what other people are trying to get at and maybe taking something a little too serious where it's not supposed to be taken serious at. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think that vet too, that like the vet, you see it anywhere really, like at workplaces, professional sports, you see it all over the place. It's just when the rookie comes in or the new guy comes into the place, like it's kind of the vets don't really like how those new guys are sometimes until they get to know them and stuff like that, because just stuff's just been around, like this league's been around for 20 years and it's just, all these guys know each other, and it's been ran a certain way, and if guys are new guys are complaining about something that's been around forever or something like that, like it's just, it kind of ticks off the old vets and stuff in around. But I think it's just mostly about like people joking around most of the time and taking a little too serious at points where it shouldn't be. Like we all should be having fun joking around in here and having a good time getting to know everybody, but it's just how everything goes in life though. But I think that's kind of my outlook on it. I just love to sit back and look at the chat go off. What I've been doing the last week, so that's what I love to do.
I think there was some talk about like do old guys have more leeway or whatever towards rules and stuff than the new guys. Well, that's true. If you was at a job for 30 years and you messed up, they're going to give you a little bit more, you know, hey, it's okay. Where if you're 3 months on the job, you know, and you do something dumb as hell, then they're going to be like, well, this dude don't give a shit about it. You know, just like that's kind of how I feel about it. Is like if you're a new guy coming in and you break a rule in the first season, you either A, didn't read the rules, or two, you think you're better than that and don't give a shit. Whereas if you've been here 30, 20, 20 seasons and you break a rule and it's one of the first rules you've ever broken, it's like, you know, I mean, a rule is a rule. I know that a rule is a rule. But at the same time, somebody that's been here a long time that ain't never messed up is gonna be in a better spot than somebody that's been here for 2 months and has already messed up doing a rule. That's my take on it. I'm kind of like Phony though. Like a lot of people get in their feels in this, in this chat. And like, I know he was talking about Pat, like outside of the NDL, he's cool as hell to hang out with. I think if anybody would hang out with me, they would probably think I'm pretty damn cool. I mean, and I think a lot of people, I mean, they just like, I'm blocked certain people 4 months in here. And to me, that is wild to me. You know, if you can't get in here and talk a little shit, I don't know who you can talk shit with. Cause this is the best league, around. And that's another thing. Like all these people say, well, in this league, well, really nobody gives a shit about the other leagues, man. This is the NDL. No reason to talk about anything. This is the league. This is the goat of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys kind of hit a lot of points that had been talked about and stuff. I mean, your sample size. I mean, you talked about your sample size. Like, what's your sample size? How long have you been here? Longevity. What type of relationships have you developed? That's a big thing. Phony and Penguin both talked about that, is get to know guys. Man, if I could give you any advice in the NDL is when you scrimmage guys, I know some guys don't like playing on the mics, but there are a lot of guys in the league that do. Visit with them on the mic, man. It changes everything. It changes your perspective. It changes the game for you. I definitely know who your opponent is when you're playing. That's like the biggest thing anybody will say behind closed doors, is know who your opponent is, know what you can and can't do, right? if you know a guy's going to lose 35-0, there's guys in the league that'll admit they'll lose 35-0 every game. Okay. Know that. Know that going into the game. Maybe visit with them on the mic. There's lots of guys that do like to talk on the mic. And it changes it. I know it's a distraction, but if you're in a scrimmage, just do it. You'll develop relationships. Yeah, maybe. I promise you, there's lots of guys in this league that you have similar interests in. You probably live in the same area. It baffles me when we still talk about, hey, where do you live? And people have been in the league for a season, two or three, and they have no idea they live within an hour of somebody. Or that they like the same teams. They like the same music. Just lots of things that can get lost in our Discord chat because you type something in there and you'll never find it again because there's so many people that type in there. I mean, everybody's guilty of that. You come back and sit at the chat and it's 780 messages. You don't go back and read any of those. I think another big thing too, with the live chat is presentation. I'm very bad at presentation when I type stuff. A lot of times, whatever comes to my mind, I'm typing it without proofreading it or anything, right? And so when you're in an argument or a disagreement with sometimes, that's where offense can get taken, is that people just read it for face value of what you type. I'll use Rain as an example. He's a guy, if you ever read anything he ever types, there's like you assume he's using AI to type it because you could not convince me otherwise. He is typing that out and proofreading it 15 times before he sends it. He's really good at presentation. He doesn't come across as an asshole. To whereas I'll admit it sometimes. I've done it in our commissioner chat. And I'll be the first to say it is I'll type something. And then after I type it, I'm like, man, that was really aggressive. Like, because I don't proofread anything. And anybody that saw me at the NDL, man, I'm loud. I'm always loud. I talk very loud. I scream very loud when I drink. But I'm extremely nice. I'm fun to be around. But man, when I'm in the chat typing, it may not come across that way. And you know, I can only speak from experience. The same thing that Penguin and Phony talked about with Pat. A lot of people are on him in the chat and stuff. He's an asshole. He's a troll and stuff. In person, he's completely different. And I think that's just gets lost in the transition. He is so supportive in person. He's a lot of fun when we play games. He's cheering for everybody, and you don't see that in the Discord channel, right? And so sometimes you have to develop those relationships with these people. I mean, there's guys that have been in the NDL since season one that don't talk a whole lot. You have to reach out and you have to get on the mic or you have to visit with them. And we've said it time and time again, you guys, there's 5% of the league can win a championship every year. That's it. Probably 5%, maybe even less. All those other 85% of the guys that have no shot at winning a championship, that's what makes the NDL the NDL. We wouldn't have 130 people without those people. Sometimes that gets lost in transition, that those guys that aren't very good, they get beat by a lot every week in and out. That's the backbone of the NDL. All fives on their coaching reports all the time. They're the champ. But that other 10% reign is the ones that fluctuate each season or when we don't have owners, right? Like the ownerless teams, you know, that's my math. So, but I definitely agree that there with you, Penguin, though, that there is some of the old guy, new guy stuff and like the get off my lawn and we don't want to change anything because it's been working. You know, every company goes through that. And so, I mean, all I can tell you is just stay with it, be here longer and things do change. The admin's been great about understanding what needs to be changed because times have changed, but also understanding the fact that what we had in place worked. And so you don't just change it all right away. So
A little bit comes with age too, as I think as we get a little older, it's just easier to be a little snappy sometimes. But I mean, I say for myself, yes, I will accuse you of being deprived of oxygen during birth if you do something I think is dumb. But at the same time, if somebody hits me up and you're with, you know, within driving distance here and you find yourself in East Tennessee, I will buy you a beer and hang out with you and talk with you, even if I think you're a cheesy player on the field, and be happy to get to know you. But that's just me.
Yeah, I want to echo like what Tim was saying though about like those mic games is very important for new guys. I think these new guys coming in, having those mic games is so important just so you can chat about getting to know each other, but like chat about like if you have a question about like what you're doing wrong or what can I fix and stuff like that. And that goes a long way compared to like maybe like messaging and because I don't think all that gets put out there in a message compared to a mic, and you can talk more in depth about what could be fixed or what you can change up and stuff like that. So new guys having mic games against like people that's been here for a while, I think is very, very important and stuff like that. So that, but that's just me. I'm a big mic game player if anybody's got a mic.
And there's other games that people play. I know some people, if you don't go into the Discord, if you're new, if you don't go into the Discord and click all channels, you won't see all the other stuff in there. Other guys play shooter games. There's, they played soccer in the past. A lot of guys play baseball. And I'm sure any game that you play on your PC, or I'm sure there's another guy in the league that play as well. I know there's a group of us that play Warzone during the day. I played Fortnite with a couple guys. We used to do family Fortnite night, which we'll get back to probably this summer. And so there's a lot of other things that you can do to interact with each other and get to know each other. And it does change the league. It shows why we always say the NDL is a community. It's not a football league. Like, it's been a community for long before I got into it. It's developed into a community. And so just indulge yourself, get in there, involve yourself, and it'll make it more fun than just logging in, playing your game and leaving. And then you come across, you know, as a dick or an asshole or something because someone doesn't know you. But anyways,
to be fair, I am kind of a dick.
Yeah, right. You're definitely not. Excuse me. So we're going to jump right into the NDL games of the week. This week we have a bunch of great games going on. First up, I'll just go ahead, and we've talked about it, a team that has a lot to lose this week and a team that obviously has a lot to gain in the next couple blocks. No bigger game right now than number 9, Colorado, traveling in to number 24, Cincinnati. The rumor is, this is the big NDL rumor right now, from the Beers, Bourbon, and Ball show, is that Joker and Jeff and Mark are planning on having this game live on Thursday night. They're just waiting for confirmation from Andy, which the rumor out there, rumors in the chat right now, is that Andy's going to play on Thursday night. So, nope, Andy, that doesn't work. You got to play. Make it work. You got to move the schedule around. If anybody hasn't had a chance to tune into them, it's great. They drink some, established liquor, and they visit with guys. There's lots of guests on the show and stuff, and they usually are live feed one of the games, and that's usually on Thursday night. So tune into that if you can. Anyways, back to the game, Colorado-Cincy. This is a big one for Cincinnati. Obviously, Cincinnati with one loss already in conference. Can't really afford any more losses, definitely, because I don't think there's going to be more than possibly two teams coming out of this conference for the college football playoff. And so another loss would probably mean that Cincinnati would be out of the playoff picture, unless they were for some reason able to win that conference with two losses, which I don't think will happen. It's a home game for Cincinnati, which I think is going to be big. Is Shedeur Sanders going to be able to keep that touchdown to interception ratio at, I think he's like 24-4. I don't think so. Colorado the last couple of weeks has been getting down big early, and they're able to come back, or they're allowing teams to get ahead, and they've had to come back towards the end of the game. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think Steam is too experienced of a coach to let that happen. I think if Cincinnati does get out to that lead, they're going to continue to keep the lead. And so I have Cincy winning this matchup.
Yeah, I'm on the same page right there with you. Steam's just more an experienced coach overall, and I think having this game at home benefits him tremendously. And just previous track records on Colorado with getting behind early, and I don't think Steam at Cincinnati is going to let him crawl back into the game and take over late in that game. Especially when I'm looking back at his games, outside of the Pittsburgh game and Texas Tech game, the most points he's let up is 14 points outside of those two games. His offense can score, and I think he's going to take very well advantage on that Colorado defense, stay away from Travis Hunter, and take advantage on the perimeter with his running back and Corey Kiner and his receivers as well. So I think Cincinnati runs away with its game in the second half and comes away with a massive win at home here.
I really want to pick Colorado in this one. But, I mean, as you guys have mentioned, those last few weeks where they have let both Kansas State and Arizona pile up the points, and even Baylor as well, not just score on them, but put them in a big hole. And given that here, they got to go on the road here. And while I don't think being on the road is going to phase Colorado, I think it's a it really helps Cincy to have to, they don't got to worry about the crowd. So that's going to be a big boost to them in that aspect. And given Steam, if I had a word to describe Steam's play style at Cincinnati, and just in general, he's methodical. And I think he's going to take care of the ball. And while I think it'll be an overall low-scoring game to the end, I think Cincinnati holds him down, and the Bearcats enjoy some bison meat.
I disagree with everybody. I think that Sanders' stats are... They're very impressive going against the Cincinnati defense. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, but I don't think Kiner's going to have a great game. I think Cincinnati's going to have to throw the ball a little bit against Colorado. I've played Andy quite a few times. I think his run defense is pretty decent. I think Andy's going to get the win here. Everybody's talking about how he gets down. He gets down. Well, he does get down. He always wins, though. So I think he's going to win a close game, really close game, but I got to give it to Colorado, and I think he's got a chance of running the table.
Almost a clean sweep there on those picks. We're going to move along to our next game, which is more of an interesting matchup for us. It's Western Michigan going on the road to play Kent State. Both teams have not won a game yet this season. Both defenses give up a ton of points, and both offensive don't score a ton of points. So I think we're going to be in for a high-scoring affair, possibly, with how defenses are looking. But for me, this comes down to one thing. I'm a big PJ Fleck fan. Came from Western Michigan when they had Corey Davis. I think we all know who Corey Davis is. I got to watch him play when I was at Western Michigan. Tremendous talent. So I'm going with row the boat here. I love PJ Fleck. I love me Western Michigan Broncos. So row the boat.
Well, it's not a matchup of good football so far this season. Both these teams have definitely had a hard go of it. And I mean, I think it comes down to, I think Western Michigan just has more ammunition than Kent State. And so much how the National Guard treated Kent State student body once upon a time, I think Western Michigan will do the same.
Yeah, I think Western roster is just a little bit better than Kent State. That's why I picked Western Michigan. They both give up, I mean, a crazy amount of points. Kent State's gave up 160 in four games. That's quite a bit. I think Western Michigan will tweak one out, though.
And so I had my pick in. I put it in the image. I had Western Michigan, but the more I'm looking at this, man, I'm changing my pick to Kent State. And the reason being is their only common opponent is Old Dominion, a great coach. Pirate up there doing big things at Old Dominion again. Is that Kent State scored 35 points against them, lost 35-49, to whereas Western Michigan almost got blank. They only scored 7 points and gave up 34. I do think it's a super evenly matched up game. I think it'll be close, but I'm going to pick Kent State only because they scored more points against Pirate.
It's a valid point. That makes sense. So moving right along, we're to our next matchup, which is going to be the Crimson Tide taking on the Tigers of Mizzou. Now, this is obviously a huge matchup for both teams. Bama with a loss, not able to really afford another one to stay in the mix. And Mizzou, I mean, this is a game not just to stay unbeaten, but to gain respect and to prove that, you know, despite the team's weaknesses, that they can hang and belong in the conversation as a legitimate contender this season. Having said that, I think Bama's bad day against Georgia was just that. And I think they will overwhelm the Tigers, and the Show Me State will get shown their first loss of the season.
Yeah, the both great coaches. Both great coaches. Missouri's got a great coach. Made the playoffs, I think, every year. Alabama, I think, is the – I think he's one of the top coaches, if not the top coach in the league. He's got Alabama now. He can compete. I don't think this game will be as close as a lot of people think, and that's not a shot at Missouri. I just think Alabama's roster talent, Alabama's coach, is just going to be way too much for Missouri. I think if Alabama wanted to, they could run for 1,000 yards against Missouri's defense, but that's why you play the game. But I got Alabama.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that almost just mirror everything Smitty said. This is Missouri's only tough opponent all year in the SEC. It's the only ranked team they play the entire year. This could go – if we've already established that voters usually don't get that in depth when they go look at things. But this could be one that could really knock Missouri down if they lose, and if they lose big, because it's their only tough opponent. I say that ranked-wise, they do play Oklahoma, who obviously just upset Texas, but hasn't played very many games. So who knows, you know, where they're going to finish. But this Missouri game is a playoff game for Missouri, because this is their only show really that they have in the SEC right now. I have Alabama winning, and I have them winning big. No knock to either coach. I just think Alabama, he's slowly figuring out that team. He's going to run the ball well against Missouri, and I think he's going to be able to stop Missouri's running attack.
Yeah, y'all tossed on everything pretty well there. Missouri hasn't played some real talent all season long. And when you're looking at Bama, they've got some real talent they played against in Georgia, Tennessee, which they beat. So, yeah, roll tide. Give me Bama.
All right. Next up, we got Clemson. Well, really not Clemson. We got Phil Moffitt heading to Louisville. And really, it's what I said. I mean, it's going to be Phil Moffa versus the whole team. If he can get his yards and his touchdowns, it's going to be a long night for Louisville. But I've watched both teams play. I watched Clemson. I think Moffa had 39 carries in the third quarter one game. He was red, dead tired, and was still just running over people like. That's something I think we need to talk about on a different show. But if he can do that, I mean, I don't know how Louisville will stop him. I really don't. I hope that it's a good game. I think it will be a good game. But I could see Moffa getting 56 carries for 600 yards this game and 7 touchdowns. And I don't know if the game will even make him sit out a play. Craziest thing I've ever seen. So give me Clemson. Give me Phil Moffitt.
Yeah. One of the things, so I have Clemson ranked pretty high in my poll. I think one of the things when I was looking at him though this morning is that he's won every game, and that's what it's about, right? Winning the game. But when you look at style points, right? A 2-point win against Stanford, a 7-point win against Florida State. I know Sammy's a great coach. He gave up 35 against Wake Forest. He gave up 24 against Kansas. Is that he hasn't had that like statement win yet where he's just blanking someone, right? Really good defense, controlling the ball, not turning it over. He's like sweating these games, you know, going late into the fourth quarter. And so maybe that's battle testing him. I'm not sure. But I think Louisville's going to be able to pass the ball. I think this game's a lot closer than some will think it'll be. I think that, like Smitty said, he's going to ride the old Phil train at the end, though, and that's ultimately going to be the difference in the game. And I have it being a 10-point game in the fourth quarter here, but I do have Clemson winning.
Yeah, you touched on some great points there with Clemson, right, not having a statement win, some close games. And when I'm looking at Louisville, right, if Sargent can slow the run game down a little bit and force him to throw the ball on third downs, I would trust that Louisville defense to lock their receivers up. They got Quincy Riley on the outside, tremendous corner in the game. I love him. He's one of my favorite corners to watch out in real life. So if he can make him force the ball on key third down plays and potentially force a turnover or two there, especially being at home in this game, I think their offense can score some points with what you were saying with them giving, with Clemson giving up 35 to Wake Forest, 31 to Florida State, 28 to Stanford. They got a really good quarterback in Tyler Shough. They got a good receivers. So I think Louisville comes out of here with a massive win at home, with a four point win here. I think he scores late and gets a W.
Well, I can understand the doubts about Clemson and playing the close games and it being a film office-centric show and that passing game be a little suspect. But I also watched Louisville play Notre Dame and Miami. And they're going to lose by 20-plus points again here. When they are faced with a team that is their equal, they frankly get smacked. And that's what we've seen so far, and I think that's what we're going to see again. Tigers big.
I feel bad that I picked Louisville now. It's not looking good for Louisville. But so we're going to go to our next matchup here, which is another Big 12 matchup for us. I think this is kind of a game where it decides the outcome of the Big 12. I think it can. We got Iowa State traveling to number 11 Texas Tech. For me, I know Texas Tech just had a rough loss at Baylor. Do I think it spirals out of control going forward here with them having to play Iowa State here and traveling to Colorado next week? I don't think so myself, but I do think with that big loss to Baylor this past block, I think it still holds something inside of them. And with how hot Iowa State's been and how solid that team is, I do think Iowa State comes out with a win here on the road and makes a lot of noise in the Big 12 with
Penguin.
Big game coming up. I'm going Iowa State here. He's got a couple big games left. I think Iowa State wins the Big 12. I'm calling it now.
Well, I'm fucked.
Now you won't win any more games, right? You're going to finish with four wins.
Oh. Yeah, so, basically that means I won't be going to a bowl game now. So it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, thanks, Phony.
But on a semi-serious note, though my doubts are rampant now, Texas Tech has shown, you know, a lot of versatility and offense and being both dangerous and both in the air and on the ground. You've seen in all their games, I believe they've scored at least 30 points every time out. And, you know, definitely been battle tested. That Cincinnati win is a big win. And you could say the Baylor loss is bad, but I mean, let's be honest. Baylor is a team that's a lot better than their record indicates. Baylor could have beaten Colorado very easily. They were in a one-score game with us. The only time that they've really been out of a game was that they didn't have a good showing versus Nebraska. So that 4-3 record could easily be one or if not two games better than that. Having said that, the more I thought about this, I know I'm going to have no chance to win if I don't have some self-belief. So given that, we're going to try to turn up the heat and prevent those tortillas from being tossed. Cyclones find a way to win.
I was fixing to slap the shit out of you if you had to picture yourself to lose.
Oh.
I think Iowa State matches up really well against Texas Tech. And I've played with Iowa State probably more than anybody in here. Their DBs are very good. They got I think his name is Cooper at free safety. If you throw anything near him, he's going to pick it off. They got a strong safety. Throw anything near him, he'll pick it off. They got a corner. Can't remember his name, but he's fast.
Darian Porter.
There you go, Porter. That is him. That is him, Porter. He is in. So Texas Tech, I've watched them play a couple times this year, and they throw it. They're going to throw it and throw it and throw it, and then Iowa State's going to get a pick and pick and pick. And if you just play smart on offense and let them guys eat, man, I think Iowa State wins. I think it's going to be a close game, And I kind of see Iowa State running away with it a little bit. And I know that probably surprises people, but I think Penguin's going to be, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, this one was tough for me. I obviously, Penguin beat Corey over there, Baylor, right? And then you just had Baylor upset Texas Tech. I think that the game's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to a couple turnovers late. I think Texas Tech is going to be able to score some points early to force Penguin out of his comfort zone. And so I do have Texas Tech winning a close game. He's fighting for his life here after the big loss, and I think this will be a big rebound win for him.
Oh, we're up. And our game of the week. That brings us to the Florida Atlantic Owls traveling to the University of South Florida Bulls. Now, as we like to do here, we definitely want to show some love to the group of five schools, and especially when you've got two in the best state for football in the nation, undefeated this late in the season. And while for most, I would think most of us would agree, Central Michigan's got the inside track still to that group of five playoff bid, you really got to look at the winner of this game as being seriously considered as well for the postseason berth. Headlining this, you've got a couple of quarterbacks that I actually mentioned as my Heisman contenders in Brown and Fancher, not sure how you say that. But I think this game is going to be an absolute shootout and give us possibly even a basketball-type score. Having said that, I think it's going to come down to the little things at the end. And the Bulls have the home field, and I think that home field is going to prove just enough, and they win it, have a game-winning drive in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, I like what you said. I wanted to go FAU. I wanted to go FAU really bad. I think that they're doing incredible this season. I've played Joker, and he's a Tennessee fan, man. That's where it is for me. All Tennessee fans get the love for me. I think it's
Maybe I should switch my pick.
I think it's gonna be a close game, but I'm going USF, and the Tennessee fans just kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah, it's tough to overlook this game for me when it came to matchups, is that this is a prime matchup in the NDL. Reason being is that a lot of these schools don't have other matchups like this, these marquee matchups during the season, like you talked about two undefeated teams, where obviously if one of these teams can run the table, they do put themselves in position for that committee to be able to look at them and say, and this is their body of work, and this is one of those games where that'll matter. For me, Florida Atlantic, really a one pony show, though, over there on the ground with C.J. Campbell, 742 yards rushing this season. Towards when I look at South Florida, they do move the ball around with three different runners. They have two runners with over 100 yards. Naquan Wright, 603 yards. Passing the ball, both teams are about the same. And so really what it comes down to is the defensive side of the ball. We already talked about it earlier today. But Jalen Schuler, linebacker for USF, USF. One of probably my favorite players right now in the league. Probably would get my vote for the Heisman right now. He's got 11 sacks, 6 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. I think he's going to be a game changer. I think he makes a play, and South Florida wins.
Yeah, I'm going to, you pretty much was thinking what I was thinking, Tim. Jalen Schuler, I think he is going to be the biggest difference maker in this game of the outcome of who wins the game, I think. I think he's going to make a lot of plays. He's going to get some key sacks. I think he gets a couple interceptions this game and probably a touchdown. Both teams are pretty identical when I was looking at them. We don't know too much about Jumper. I know he's a new coach of the league. Tremendous season he's having, so all power to him. Hope he continues great season on to next year. But Joker, he was great at Team Houston State last year. He was on the verge of winning the conference. Tough loss in the conference championship game. But we know what we kind of see from him, how good he is as a player, just based off last season. So Yeah, I'm going with USF here. I just think Jalen Shuler is going to just dominate this game on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm going USF here at home.
So here's my question for you, Joker. I know you're in the audience. Is why isn't this game on Beers, Ball, and Bourbon? You can just give us a live look in at the coaching headset, right? You call your plays and everything. Like, that'd be brilliant. And Jumper's even in here. Oh, Jumper just left because I'm calling them out. Oh, he's back in here. Jumper's back in here. Like right now, we set that game up for Thursday night on Beers, Balls, and Bourbon. Jeff Daddy agrees. Joker could host the show and play the game live. I mean, does that not make sense? That makes sense to me.
I think it makes perfect.
Oh, look at that. There you go. Joker says if Jumper can agree to be on the Bourbon, he'll do it. I'm tagging Jumper right now in the chat. We're gonna organize this game for them. Jumper keeps going in and out of the chat. He must be having problems.
Jumper's like, fuck it.
I'm out of here. I only drink Diet Coke or whatever the hell Smitty drinks. Smitty, have you never drank a beer?
No, I ain't never drank.
How do you live in Tennessee and you've never had beer? I thought that's like what you guys, you don't drink water, you just drink beer.
I think if I drank beer, I'd like it way, way too much, judging by my family history.
It is delicious.
See, man, I'm not a big diet. I don't like Coke or Pepsi to me. I don't know why. It tastes like stale soda. And I know it's just an acquired taste. Some of my kids love like Coke and Pepsi. I'm more of like, I don't drink a ton of soda, but when I do, it's like Dr. Pepper or Sprite are like my go-tos. I used to love Mountain Dew, but
I like all of, Dr. Pepper, Sprite, it don't matter. I like them all.
My beer choice is Busch Light for sure. And that just comes back from my college days. Super cheap. It's light. It's kind of like water. So like in the summer, it's a good beer to drink. And then I'm a big whiskey guy, but I like Irish whiskey. So Jameson's my favorite. Black Barrel Jameson is probably my favorite on the rocks.
See, I don't even know what the hell y'all talking about.
Nectar of the God.
Yeah, right.
Jumper is typing.
Pony, I had to take some of your Corona home with you.
I think we only had a couple left. It's a bummer.
Jumper's in. Oh, Jumper's down?
Oh, Jumper said he's in. He said, I'm not ducking anyone. I'll load up whatever you tell me.
I like it.
And I'll be there.
Fuck yeah. I'll be tuning in Thursday night then. I'll be ready.
Attitude. Yeah, right. Well, you heard it here first. Beers, Bourbon, and Ball Thursday night. It's going to be Joker, top 25 matchup in the AAC Florida Atlantic, taking on South Florida Bulls. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun. And so how does that work? So Jeff and Mark, like, do you interview Joker then? Like, are you going to interview Joker pregame? Is he the guest? Yeah, or is he the guest or is he the host?
I think we just do a live look at Joker playing the game the whole time. I think that would be great.
Oh, he's on camera. He'll be on camera.
That's going to be great.
I'm going to guess Joker's not going to shy away from that. He's going to be, when I say balls drink, he's going to be drinks deep in the show playing his game. And so that'll be fun. He said he's ordering a spare remote.
Been there, bud. Been there.
Well, there you have it. Here we are at 10:32 Central Time. We're 2 minutes past due. I appreciate everybody on the show. We had over 20 people in the chat. Loved it. A lot of interaction and stuff. We appreciate you guys. We apologize about last week. I'll be the first to say it's my fault game day did not show up for the convention. We went way too hard on Friday night. Shell cut me up till 3:30 in the morning, whooping my ass at pool. And Penguin was hugging the porcelain gods. Pony was about the only responsible.
I was up and ready to go. I was suffering.
Yeah. Penguin was ready. I will say I put in the effort for all y'all in the chat.
100%. So Pony was the only one.
I tried.
Super responsible though, and was in a good condition in the next morning. Penguin and I were not. We do apologize for that. We appreciate it, though. That's the only show we've missed in three seasons, so bear with us here. But we love you guys as fans. We appreciate it. And now we have a great game looking forward to on Thursday night.
You boys be good. I got to go play Ark. We'll be right back.